Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, November the 12th. Veterans Day, unofficially, because officially was yesterday. Like the while, sitting here with me is my co-host, Tammy Allman. Hi, Tam.
Hey, Vince.
And we had some fun stuff during the race this in Phoenix. A lot of things happened. Of course, most of it was with three laps to go. And Jeff Gordon, I guess, had enough of Clint Bowyer and wound up taking him out along with about five other cars, including Joey Logano and a few others. Eric Amarillo was involved in that one. And then when they went to the green right checker, Jeff Burton took out Danica Patrick. Everybody thought she was clear and didn't realize she had put down oil, which caused everybody else to spin coming off of turn four heading toward the checkered flag. You could just watch as Harvick got sideways, Kyle Busch got sideways.
You got to give him credit, though. I mean, look at Brad, how bad that car was wrecked. And I don't think he ever even turned a little bit sideways when he was coming through there, even though he was getting pummeled.
Yeah. First, it looked like he made it through clean, but every car before him got through, wound up getting a little sideways. And apparently Casey Kane got in the front end of Keselowski as he went by. Ryan Newman, his car got jacked up, and he got taken a pretty beating. It's surprisingly he crossed the line fifth. I think Kurt Busch wound up driving under Danica's car, which would have been her best finish in the Cup Series at 15th had that not happened. Still wound up coming home 17th, but her car was up on the hood of Kurt Busch's car. I'm still trying to get used to Kurt Busch in the 78. I'm still thinking it's Regan Smith's, like these late season swap outs. Kind of had me thrown for a loop, but it was a pretty dull race. Matter of fact, one of my friends had posted up something about the race. I says, yeah, I was watching a boring race and a hockey game broke out. But because I guess when Clint Bowyer got out of the pits, he hopped out of his car and went running over towards Gordon's hauler. Apparently, Bowyer's team went after Gordon, and there was a big brouhaha on pit road there outside of the hauler. Clint, I think he was on that five-hour energy the way he was running so fast.
I know. He took off running down there. It's like, man, you could just see everything was built up in him. It's like, oh, this isn't going to be good.
No, it wasn't good, but it kind of reminded me of old school racing where
it was, where the drivers, you settled it on and off the track between yourselves. And, you know, and NASCAR's told them, have at it. Well, they had at it, and NASCAR's like, no, that's not what we mean. So they have to kind of make up their mind. Have at it, but don't hit each other, don't touch each other, and don't fight. But have at it.
Have at it, but not too much.
Yeah, just a little, okay, just poke him and walk away. No, if you can tell somebody to have at it, you're giving them full permission to go fight and carry on.
Well, the penalties stemming from that was Gordon was penalized 25 points and fined $100,000. Brian Patty, who's Clint Bowyer's crew chief, got fined $15,000. Brad Keselowski, who had nothing to do with the altercation, was put on probation until the end of the year for having a cell phone in his car, which everybody knew he had from Daytona. But I guess they caught him tweeting something.
I know.
While he was under the red flag or something.
Phone alone.
I mean, here's a guy that did everything he had to do in that race to stay even or maintain the points lead. With 77 to go, Jimmy Johnson cut a tire and hit the wall, wound up putting him 33 laps down, 38 laps down. and still only wound up 20 points back because of the way the finish ended, because he was able to stay out there to the green-white checker and get around the, a lot of the cars that wound up wrecking. But going into the final race at Homestead, that has it pretty interesting, because Keselowski's only raced there four times, doesn't have any top tens, but that doesn't mean anything, because, I think the last few times he ran there, he wasn't driving full season except for last year. I think it was his first full year in Cup. So this year he has a chance to, if he qualifies good, has some good pit stops, and finishes the race, 15th or better, even if Johnson has a max points day, he's still the champion.
Yep. It's Brad's to lose at this point. It honestly is. It is Brad's to lose.
But everybody's trying to give different things he should do. Of course, a few of the guys are playing.
He shouldn't do anything different than he's done any other week. He should just run his own race like he's been doing.
That's what got him there.
Yeah, exactly. So what changed? Why change what's working?
Well, I know years ago what they used to do to Dale Earnhardt was detune his car a little bit, so there's no way it would blow up. But you figure this would be, if Brad Keselowski wins this, it'll be the first NASCAR Sprint Cup championship for Penske, considering all the drivers that Roger has had that were former Cup winners, Rusty Wallace, Kurt Busch. I mean, there were guys there that haven't done it and weren't able to get it done. He had Newman driving for him, so, probably thinking with him and Rusty, he had a good shot at winning one there. Here comes this kid from the Nationwide ranks, driving for Dale Jr. for a couple of years. Won a few races, was in maybe contention to win a Nationwide championship, but never did it with theirs, which when he signed to go Cup racing with Penske, his first full season in Cup racing, he won a Nationwide title. So that was actually Penske's first NASCAR championship, but not a Cup Series championship. And now he's on the verge of becoming a Cup Series champ, which I'd really like to see. I mean, nothing against that. And just think, you picked Brad and I picked Jimmy, and guess what happened?
I know. Well, see, and I want to see Brad for a lot of reasons. One, if you think about this, Homestead is Dodge's last race in the sport.
That's it.
So,
I mean,
okay, what better way than his history in the sport than to go out on top with a championship with Penske Racing, nonetheless.
I know. I mean, that's the only two Dodges that are in the field are Keselowski's and Hornish's, and they're going to be Fords next year. So you figured the development and the stuff that Dodge used to provide, that they had to switch and start, back in the garage, they're reworking a lot of the new stuff to go to Ford for next year. So they only had a handful of the cars that were going to be Dodges for the next few races. This was one of the new cars they had. Was what they took to Phoenix, and of course the right side was pretty beat up at the end of the race, but it still finished the race running well on the lead lap. To that last caution, and he's sitting on a 20-point lead. Now, win-wise, they're both tied in wins, but I don't know if the tiebreaker in wins will come down with total wins this year. Like, is that how it worked with Stewart and Edwards? Because Tony had the 5 wins in the chase, so they all counted as a tiebreaker.
Right.
So with 20 points up, and the tied in wins, it basically would come down to a third tiebreaker. And I don't know what that is, probably top tens. If it came down to if points were tied and wins are tied, then that it'll really get interesting.
Now, what did I all miss Saturday? We got some updates while we were down there, but we didn't have a whole lot of signal and stuff. What went on in the Nationwide race?
What about it?
I saw some tweets, and it almost made me seem almost made me think that Elliot Sadler took himself out of the contention.
Yeah, he had some bad pit stops, and then his car wasn't handling well, and I think that he wound up scraping the wall after a while. Now he wound up a lap down. He ripped the front end off his car, so they had to patch that up. He only lost a lap doing that, because that wound up under a green-white checkered also. So they had to fix that, and only kept him a lap down. But Ricky Stenhouse had a third-place finish, and I was able to give him a points lead. So coming down to one race, it's now 20-point difference between Stenhouse and Sadler for the Nationwide Series. I think the Truck Series swapped around, too. Because Buescher's now only up by 11 points over Tim Peters, who's in second. So you got all three series, the greatest margin between first and second place is 20 points, and that could change this coming weekend with the Ford 200, the Ford 300, and the Ford 400. So
nobody has a lock. What about the trucks? Does anybody on there have a lock on it?
Nah, it's 11 points.
So it's kind of neat going into the last weekend. There's no clear-cut winner in any of the three divisions.
No, not at all. Each series could have a change. It could change, but figure with a 20-point gap in the Nationwide Series, it's a little tougher because you figure one's got to finish 20 spots ahead of the other. And same with the Cup Series. If you get max points, you still, you know, Keselowski has to finish worse than 15th. So even if, so that would be the same for Sadler and Stenhouse. With Sadler having a max points day, Stenhouse would have to finish worse than 15th to win to lose the championship. So they kind of have it's kind of theirs to lose. So it's going to be interesting to see how they manage to drive that race. Stranger things have happened. You know, they say, you know, you got to do your job, but, you know, you can't count on motors blowing or tires blowing or, you know, getting involved in somebody else's mess. You got, as long as you make sure you're within your zone and have good pit stops, then they should be able to, Stenhouse and Keselowski should be able to hold on and win the championship. The Truck Series, 11 points, that's a lot closer.
It is. I don't know. It could have. You know what though? Trucks are Friday night this week, right?
Yeah Friday night again.
I won't get to see them Friday night, so I'll be trying to find signal up at the track to see what the results are. Saturday. Oh, depending on how late Nationwide runs on Saturday too, I won't be knowing anything because we'll be at the banquet Saturday afternoon.
Ah, that's right. Nationwide. Yeah, figures that's
it's championship weekend, and I'm, like, jam-packed. I'm actually not going to be home the entire weekend again. Sunday.
You need what they call a DVR.
I know. I have to get one of them. I'm watching the Black Friday sales. Maybe I'll get one. I don't know. I have to
well,
learn all this
stuff. Well, you have Comcast. Don't they offer that in their package, in their bundle?
That's so stinking expensive, I don't even know what we have. I just know we overpay for the whopping 5 channels I watch normally. Is that bad?
I know. I'll tell you, I'm not, you know, back when I lived up there, I used to watch the Flyers all the time. So the only reason why I needed Comcast was, I guess, for the internet. And, you know, Comcast Sportsnet, so I could watch all the Flyers games. But now that I really haven't paid much attention to hockey since, I guess,
they're
the strike
playing.
In 05.
There's no hockey.
But now there's no hockey.
Yeah, there's no hockey. I don't know anything about it. I just know there's no hockey because my husband's not fighting me to put hockey games on.
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, I used to cover the Flyers all the way up from 98 to 05 for the station. So I used to go to just about every weekend home game. And, you know, I used to keep an eye on that. I used to have to talk about it on the other sports talk show I did besides the racing show. So I'd have to, you know, go to the games, get the audio and all that kind of good stuff. But now down here, I got DirecTV, and I'll tell you, if you're not in tune to, you know, that engrossed in Philly sports, you really don't, need the Philly channel, even though there is a regional Comcast Sportsnet on DirecTV. And now they have it. If you have, switch over from cable to DirecTV, the only thing you'd have to worry about would be your internet service. And I think there's a package there with either AT&T or CenturyLink for internet. But I don't know if it's a DSL as opposed to cable, Comcast. I mean, if you Fios is what everybody, you know, if I had a chance to get to, I probably would have went to that, still living up north, but I didn't have a choice. But with DirecTV now, their new DVR system, you pay a little extra for it, but now you can record up to 5 shows at once, like during the same time slot. When I signed up, it was only 2. And one of them has to be the one you're watching. You can't, watch a third one and record 2 different ones, which kind of stinks. But I might look to upgrade to that this way, because there's a lot of shows that are on a couple nights a week that you need that, even though it ain't all the time. Like Fridays, there's and Wednesdays, there's, shows on at 9 o'clock that I watch one, I tape one, and if it's on cable, they usually loop it. They go 1 in the morning. So, but then if there's a race on, then I got to record other shows while I watch the race and then watch the other shows later. But being you're out and about, you know, at Grandview and all, you could actually tape the race while you're out there at Grandview or, you know, running your RC races.
Yeah,
watch them when you get home.
I know. I gotta figure out something. You figure I'm not home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays.
That's
pretty
always
much not home. Yeah, that's my whole week. I have something going I work during the day, and then I have something going every night, and then at least one Sunday night a month we're at the firehouse working too. So that's my schedule.
Well, the NHRA season wrapped up their schedule this weekend out in Pomona. And Antron Brown made history becoming the first African-American to win the Top Fuel Championship, beating out Tony Schumacher for the points win. And I'm surprised he hasn't won a Top Fuel championship sooner, because as good as he is, you would think he's had a shot to get one, but he was able to do it this year. Courtney Force made it to the finals again, losing. Figures she calls in the very next week she gets to the finals. She wound up losing to Cruz Pedregon. But he ran a 4.03, and she looks like she ran a 7.8. So she must have spun the tires. As far as the Top Fuel event at Pomona, Brandon Bernstein took home the event Wally, while in pro stock, Alan Johnson wound up beating Vincent Nobile. And then motorcycle, Andrew Hines wound up beating Eddie Krawick's teammate. So, again, Harley Davidson has pretty much swept the season. So they probably I just didn't see which one of those two won the championship. had to be one of them, because they won every race this year, so that means they made it to the final just about every time out, facing each other. I think the other excitement that happened, other than the melee during the race in Phoenix, was Jack Beckman when his car blew up. I don't know if you saw that. They just showed the whole thing explode. He was all right, of course, but it's one of those deals when you get them nitro burners and they cut loose. It looks cool, but I don't know if I'd want to be in the car when that happens. Thing about it, though, is figure like the top fuelers, they have the engine behind the driver, and the funny cars have the engine in front of the driver. So if it's behind the driver, you're better off, because that thing's just going to blow out the back. But if it's in front of you, then, you know, you got to feel that heat and all that right there in your face. But let's give the numbers out. If anybody wants to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. I don't know if you got the chat room up, but...
I do. I know Dan wants to call in. He'll be calling.
Your fill-in co-host on Thursday night?
Yeah. I don't know if he likes being called Girls Getting the Facts with me, though. I might have to talk to him about that. I told you what my idea was for.
You could just change it to Getting the Facts.
or come up with something catchy. I told you my idea for a logo. But here you go. Hold on. Here's Danny.
Yeah, I see him. Hey, Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey!
Hello? You were so what? What? Talk about the race yesterday?
I was so happy yesterday, and then today I'm so mad.
Right.
Because, like, with the penalties, you know I just like Jeff Gordon, so I was so happy to finally see him get a beat down that he deserved. But
that's so wrong!
So. Everybody that deserves it, he does. But as far as the penalties, NASCAR did not keep their presidents. Kyle Busch last year got suspended, had to sit out a few races because of Ron Hornaday. Kurt Busch had to do it for cussing out a cop. Kevin Harvick's had to sit out for races. Jimmy Spencer's had to sit out for races for this. Williams and Jeff Gordon.
Well, Jeff Gordon doesn't have a history of doing that.
He got on fire with Jeff Burton last year.
What's that? Oh, with Jeff Burton last year? Well, I think that was after the race and away from, they were off the track. I think they were getting ready to hop over, head towards their haulers. But this was an on-track
incident. No, it was during the middle of the race. They were supposed to be gaining their ambulances. And instead of that, Jeff Gordon ran toward Jeff Burton and got in a fight with him. It was right after a crash. And you can still find it on YouTube.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, yeah, it's like NASCAR set the standard, and now a little pretty boy, I'm going to say it, he does it at $1,000 fine, 25-point penalty that doesn't really matter.
It was a $100,000 fine.
Yeah, it was a $100,000 fine.
That's pretty steep right there. 25 points, which really didn't mean nothing at this point in the year.
And probation. He should have been set out not only for Homestead, but also for Daytona.
Well, he is a good spokesperson for the sport otherwise. I know... he's had some issues, and apparently what happened with him and Boyer, it didn't just happen yesterday. It started back in Martinsville, so I couldn't see what happened. I guess the cameras weren't really too focused on the two of them, but they must have been getting in each other's way there as well. Apparently,
That was like after the cause, there was like a green-white checkered, and Clint Boyer came down and made it three wide and took him and Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon all out.
But, you know, the thing I don't get is if you're going to put in the have at it, boys, then, hey, you know, it's fair game. Actually, for me,
it
was
Joey Logano was involved. It was because of Joey Logano.
I don't think it had anything to do with that.
No, because, like, if this was, like, in the pits and it was just him and Clint, you wouldn't have all this stuff. You wouldn't have all the penalties. If it was, like, if it was just them two, but because other people who weren't involved in the feud got taken out, that's why there should be penalties. And
well,
that's why I think the half at it doesn't count.
Do you think that when Jeff Burton tapped Danica and sent her into the wall and everybody else wound up getting in her oil and wrecking, that he shouldn't have been penalized?
See, that was just a racing incident. That wasn't, like, them fighting. That wasn't like, a feud that's been ongoing.
Yeah. Even though it was a racing incident, it did look deliberate.
Oh, I'm sure there's several drivers that wanted to do that to her.
I'm not sure. I mean, but she was on her way to got to give her credit. She was on her way to her best finish ever, probably the 15th. She only lost a couple spots, but still,
yeah.
You know, was that retaliation from Bristol? I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, to me, it looked more like a race incident. It didn't look like it was intentional.
Yeah, but then, you know, and even there was a Robin Pemberton was saying that why didn't they throw the yellow then? But they didn't know that there was oil down on the track. She was out of the
group. You look at it on TV and you can see the streak of oil, and it wasn't from Danica's car because it went all the way around the track.
Well, when she came off of four, she had gotten down to the inside, and then she was still speeding up, coming up against the inside wall. You could see when they were coming off four for the checker. Where first Harvick slid, and then Hamlin slid, and Kyle slid, and then Cam. I mean, they were getting sideways, just coming through that oil.
But you can, if you watch it on TV or find it on YouTube and look at it, or maybe it's on NASCAR.com. You can see the streak of oil. It's going down the middle of the track, and Danica's below it. That streak of oil came from another car.
And that was
that
still
wasn't
left
from Danica.
Then that would have to have been left out from the Gordon incident, because that was
like a car that, like, okay, there's only one more lap. Maybe I can make some more positions. Like, maybe, I don't know if it was Eric Almirola or somebody.
Amarola slid into Logano and Gordon and Boyer there on the track.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because if you watch it, you can see the oil streak. And it's not from Danica. It's above her.
But then, maybe somebody else did leak it out. If it was Amarola, then, NASCAR just let it go because they wanted to finish the race then.
Because
you could see the cloud of oil dry when they went through it on the restart. I thought somebody was smoking or some more oil dry there. Then they wound up going around and...
Well, Matt Kenseth was smoking.
Yeah, he was smoking too. But he had a tire rub, left front.
Yeah.
You could tell that was a tire where it was coming out at.
Yeah. And then, like, the stuff with Brad Keselowski being penalized. He got penalized because... ESPN went to the in-car camera and was showing him texting and going through his tweets. And him being penalized for that,
that's
ridiculous. It's stupid. And they were even using his Daytona tweets where he was tweeting the pictures of the crash and commercials to promote NASCAR.
I know. That's the thing about sometimes NASCAR has a double standard to where they, they'll let it go that the one time because it helped them, and this time it really didn't help them. So they says, what the hell, we'll put them on probation. I mean, probation for what? One more till December. I mean, the season don't even get to December. Why would they put somebody on probation until December? I mean, if you're going to put them on probation, put them on for one more race. And even that, here's your points leader. A young kid, you know.
I could see them putting him on probation for the interview he gave after the race. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, you did not see that?
Oh, I saw it. He was driving aggressive and caught some flack for that in Texas, but, you know, what happened here is borderline ridiculous.
Yeah, and they had to bleep out every other word. Because he had to even apologize to the reporter, Dave. He's like, I'm not going off on you, but it's bleeping, bleep, bleep, and bleep.
I'm surprised they were able to bleep it. Because I think you had posted earlier, did Rusty Wallace say the S word on TV?
Oh, yeah. Like, that was funny, too. And then the Clint Boyer's crew chief, you know, he got penalized just for saying the S word.
Yeah, well, that one I caught. I saw that one. I didn't catch the pre-race with Rusty. But knowing Rusty, when I had a chance to talk to him in Dover a couple times, yeah, he does tend to let him fly, but he wasn't on mic either. So, he didn't have to worry about it.
Oh, he did it, and, like, he caught himself right in the middle of doing it. And I was like, too late. You already did it. So he just went on and pretended like it didn't even happen.
Yeah, I know, but I'll tell you one thing, though. No matter what happened late in that race, though, it's now coming down to where next week means something.
Yeah.
And
I think it's Brad's to lose. As long as Brad stays out of trouble, he's pretty much going to win it.
Yeah. It's the onus is on Jimmy Johnson now to he's got to max points out and still. So what his goal is, he's going to take out Keselowski. He won't take out Keselowski early, but Keselowski has to finish better than 15th if Johnson leads the most laps and wins the race. And, you know, that's kind of hard to do. I mean, it might be easy for Johnson to do, but Keselowski really have to screw up or get involved in something on the track to where he winds up limping around for the, you know, just to finish the race. But as long as he has good pit stops, stays out of
and
trouble.
As long as somebody doesn't hit him or anything like that, he should be all right.
Which I'd be happy to see. I'd like to see a new champion. Nothing against Jimmy Johnson or Tony Stewart, I would have loved to have seen Edwards win last year. I mean, I like Edwards. If you ever met the guy, he's a nice guy, and Tammy knows all the stuff he's done for.
Oh, he has his moments, but I don't hate Edwards.
He's one of those ones that, you know what, it's always the quiet ones you have to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen him be aggressive towards some people, and I've seen him be very polite at times. But he's just like anybody else, I guess.
But,
you know,
I guess he'll race you like you race him. He's had some run-ins with Keselowski in the beginning after Talladega, when Keselowski sent Edwards a little airborne there, but Edwards came down the block.
Well, the attempted decking of Matt Kenseth for a Martinsville race was uncalled for, and the only reason he stopped is because he saw two police officers.
Yeah.
And the attempt to chop off Dale Jr.'s hand at Pocono was uncalled for.
Who's that, Edwards or Keselowski?
Yeah, it was Edwards.
Hmm.
It was a few years ago. Dale Jr. Was still in the Budweiser car.
Oh, okay. That was a lot of years ago now. 3, 4?
Yeah.
What do you make of all these Dale Jr. fans now? Dale Jr. has had a really good, I mean, this year he had a decent year, but, you know, I don't know. It seems like when push comes to shove and it's crunch time,
he's nowhere. Dale Jr. is more of a TV star, not a racer.
It's a shame because when he came up, he was winning races. He was in contention. I mean, you know, he didn't have a. I'm talking a couple of years, you know, into his Sprint Cup career. I'm not talking about this first year, even though that was tragic, his first year when his, you know, figure Dale Sr. got killed at Daytona and he had to battle through that. But the year after that, he went on a run where he was winning all the, you know, the restricted plate races and some other ones, and he had real good runs going. I mean, it seems like ever since the demise of DEI,
he got too big-headed. I think from what I've heard, it was more of his sister pushing him to do it. And he wanted, like, ownership of the company. And Teresa basically told him, look, you can either be a race car driver or you can be a TV star. It's your choice. Make up your mind. And he chose to be a TV star.
Yeah, but when he went to Hendrick, you would have thought he would have been able to be more focused being a race car driver. Because
Even when Kyle got fired, he's like, I got fired because my hair wasn't in the right place.
Who said that?
Kyle Busch. When they fired him for Dale Jr., and they asked Kyle, like, why is he leaving Hendrick or how does he feel about it? He's like, I got fired because I don't have my hair in the right place.
Yeah, but that was before Junior came along. I think
That was for Junior. That was when they announced that Junior was going to Rick Hendrick, and Kyle Busch was out.
Yeah, no, but Mark Martin took that seat, Kyle's
seat. Yeah, they both came in at the same time. Because remember, at that time, it was a three-car operation.
Yeah, it was Kyle, it was Gordon, and Johnson.
Yeah. Because the 25 car was pretty much, they couldn't find a sponsor for it, so it had pretty much shut down.
That was the car they stuck out there. They got some for a race, try different stuff on to see what worked. That was the R&D car.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. I mean, and when Kyle went to Gibbs, you figure he's got, you know, he hasn't had, the 1 year, his first year there, he won, nine races before the chase even started. And then when the chase came along, nothing seemed to go right. Because, you know, he had the talent to do it, but stuff was happening with him in the car and whether he was motors letting go and having some sorts of bad luck. But there's another guy I think could win a championship, I don't know if he's in the right situation over at Gibbs either now.
Exactly. I don't see him staying there. I see him leaving for another team or going for his own team. Or I see a massive firing at Gibbs. Because, like, Dave Rogers, he needed to go.
Well, you figure what? You got Logano's leaving. Kenseth's coming in.
Kenseth's about to retire, let's be honest.
He whines a lot, but he's out on the track. He's not a... He's quiet. He has good... I don't know how good his pit crew's going to be this year, you know, next year, but he always had good pit crews to get him positioned.
Mm-hmm.
And he would run, to me, he reminds me of Mark Martin. He would run the car only as good as the car was willing to run.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a knock against Mark, but I think that might have cost Mark a championship because, I think if Mark would have sometimes pushed the car a little more, he didn't have that aggressive style like Earnhardt Sr., Kyle Busch, Tony Stewart.
Well, he lost the one championship due to a penalty. It was back when he drove the Folgers car. It was him and Dale Sr. going at Mark Martin.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
they did something illegal with the car, and they fined him, I think it was 25 points, and then Dale Earnhardt won it.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what it was. No, I don't think it was Earnhardt. Was it Earnhardt or?
Yeah, it was Earnhardt. One of Earnhardt's seven championships came because of a penalty that Mark got.
Not all of them. One of them might have been. But
yeah,
another one,
it was against Mark Martin. It was him, Mark Martin, battling out. And it was back when he was in the Folgers car.
Martin wasn't in the Folgers car. Martin drove the Valvoline car forever.
Yeah, but it was before Valvoline. It
then
was
after
between
that,
the straight light. Because he had this, it was like straight light or straight light beer or something. And then he had Folgers and then he had.
That was the same. He was still driving. It wasn't the Folgers. Folgers was Hendrick.
Okay.
That was Tim Richmond and then Benny Parsons and Kenny Schrader after that, I think.
Yeah, I thought Folgers sponsored him for like a year.
Nah, I think after that, I don't think Folgers was ever, if it was a year, it wasn't much. But I think that the two times that Martin had a shot at it, one was in the Valvoline car and one was when he drove the 01 Army car. Because everybody was wondering. And then the year after he started driving full time for Hendrick and Jimmy Johnson beat him by a few points.
Yeah.
But he did lose one of them on a penalty.
Yeah, and he lost it to Dale Sr.
Dale Sr., you know, he had some breaks go his way to get 7-2. The one year it was between him and Ernie Irvin, and when Irvin hit the wall of Michigan and knocked him out from, you know, for pretty much ended, that screwed him up. And then the guy you would have had to worry about was if he didn't get AIDS and die, was Tim Richmond, because there's a guy that probably could have won a championship or two during that era as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then Gordon had his little run. Bobby Labonte won the championship in 2000. Earnhardt finished second, so Earnhardt was poised to come back and make a run for his eighth.
And then that accident happened.
Yeah. And, after he won the Daytona 500, I don't think he was meant to be in victory lane at Daytona for the 500 anyway, because his cars were going to win that race. He was destined to finish at best third. I don't think there's any way. And Hugh could even, you know, that stopped him from actually going the victory lane in the Daytona 500 as an owner winner.
Let's see, the race he had the blown tire, I think he finished second that race. But, yeah, I think after the 2001, I think, yeah, he was saying, I've already been in there as a driver, let's do it as an owner now. Because it was Michael Waltrip, Dale Jr., and it was him.
Right. And he just wasn't able to get there because of what happened. But, he, you know, it was credited, him and Teresa were credited, or, you know, both the owners of the team. And, I mean, Junior even won a Daytona 500. He came back and won the Pepsi 400. Was it the Pepsi? It was Pepsi 400, I think, at that time.
Yeah.
That same year. So, I mean, Junior did have the talent to drive the car, as long as, so long as he had car, you know, cars worth of driving, and then
I think he won the Pepsi 400 that year, and then went on to win the 500. And then Michael Waltrip won the 400 the next year,
and then the 400 a year, and then the rain short.
Yeah.
And Michael Waltrip won the rain short in 500 the year after that.
Yeah, because it was like them two just kept flip flopping for a while.
Yeah, and then Junior was winning all the Talladega races. Five in a row?
Yeah. Or no, World Bulletin won the one Daytona 500 because there was that big joke, Sterling, stay in your car.
No, that's right. That was, Yeah, that was afterwards. That was the one. Yeah, that was one of them after that.
Yeah, that was 2002.
And the only thing Junior really doesn't have to his resume is a
Brickyard and a championship.
A Brickyard and a championship. Mainly the championship. I think the Brickyard, that's a nice one to have now since they brought, you know, since they started going there. But I don't know if he's ever run well at the Brickyard, even come close to winning that one.
No.
The one who screwed up the Brickyard, he had it in the bag, was Montoya the one year, but he got caught speeding down pit road on that last pit stop. That means that, you know, he would have won the Brickyard, won the Indy 500, and those Formula One races he had for Ganassi.
Yep.
I mean, that's where DEI is now. It's what, Earnhardt Ganassi. I don't even think they use any of the Earnhardt in the name anymore.
It's Earnhardt Ganassi or Ganassi. Yeah, it's Earnhardt Ganassi. And then, like, all the private jets that they used to have are now commercial out and allow other teams to use them.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad to see, like, you see the old DEI jets, and they still have the black paint scheme with the silver pinstripe and the old DEI decals on them. And you think you're looking at an old photo, and then you find out that, no, it's now, like, the other team's rental.
Yeah. They got to make the money somehow.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Hey, Pam, are you there? You have anything to chime in on?
I'm here. Kyle and I are having our own little chat. It's okay. We're crunching numbers and scenarios and everything like that about this weekend.
Okay. Kyle Judge?
Yeah, we're sitting here crunching numbers of, well, you know, this one has to do this, this one has to do this, but then if this one does that, if we're doing all the math.
Is he working? Why don't he call in?
He's at work right now.
That's why he's not calling in. Well, he was really responsible for our next week's guest, Tammy Ward Jacobs, a hydroplane racer. As here on Garage Talk Live, we like to promote other forms of motorsports instead of usual ones. She'll be our second boat racer.
That's where Bill Weber went to. I was watching a boat race today, and he was announcing it.
Really?
Yeah.
On what, ESPN or Speed?
No, it was on a, like, generic, like, the Comcast-type sports channel.
Okay. Yeah, they don't. Comcast had Versus. And then when they bought NBC, they killed Versus and made it NBC Sportsnet.
Yeah, well, you still have, like, the local sports channel. It used to be, like, Home Team Sports. HBS and
So he's doing that. Interesting.
Yeah. I remember, like, when he left, he, like, said he would never do another NASCAR race ever again. And apparently, like, he went on to do, like, magic shows on cruise ships. And I was like, wow, how sad.
Yeah.
I was kind of flipping through the channels, and there was a boat race on, and it's like, I remember that voice. And as it was going on, it's like, that's Bill Weber.
That's pretty bad. Well,
yeah.
I guess I don't know why. Well, you figure, let's see, figure Bob Jenkins retired. He used to run the original play-by-play for ESPN back when ESPN put NASCAR on the map after the Daytona 579.
Yeah, and he retired because of his wife, who then passed away like 2 weeks later.
Yeah. And
Ned Jarrett. Missing
Ned Jarrett.
Eli Gold. Eli Gold is so awesome.
Awesome or awful?
Awesome. I like him. Like,
yeah.
When I used to go to Talladega for the nationwide race, I would sit right by where the stairwell was for the media box. And I saw him walking by, and, like, he was impressed. I knew who he was, so he let me come up and see what was going on in there. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah, I remember when he used to just do the MRN broadcast. He was the radio reporter. He used to do the, you know, call the race on the radio.
Yeah, and then he went on to TNN.
Yeah, they went to TNN. And for some reason, when they go to TV, it's a whole different, because you don't have to really describe as much on TV that you do on the radio. So it didn't seem like it was the Eli Gold we all grew up listening to on the MRN broadcast. I mean, and
I think he went back to MRN, because when I met him, he went back to MRN after, like, the Fox NBC bought out.
Hmm. Yeah, he went back to there. I don't know. I don't think he does the play-by-play on MRN too much anymore. He might be retired now as well. Benny Parsons passed away. It was to be him, Ned, and Bob Jenkins in the booth, and then you had Jerry Punch walking down pit road.
Jerry Punch. Ken Squire. I saw him a few years ago at Talladega. He looked awful, though. Like, bone, skinny, thin.
He's old, man.
Yeah.
The guy's old.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was really, he looked fragile, I'll put it that way.
I remember years ago when they had Nazareth had their last season. They had the nationwide race first, and then they capped off their season with the IndyCar race, and that's had to meet Chris Economaki there, and he was in his 80s then. And of course, he just passed away in his 90s. I mean, there was one of the.
He was the one that did the newspaper, right?
Yeah, but he used to be. I remember watching him on ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, he used to come down for Dave Marcus Day up in Pennsylvania. And he was always really neat and funny.
I wonder what Dave Marcus is doing now. Up until he stopped racing, even after he stopped racing, he was building IROC cars.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
He's probably retired now.
Yeah, he's probably up in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't know. When you get older, you don't want to move back in the cold.
Well, that's his home state, so.
Yeah. But still. He's so used to staying down here where you don't get 4 feet of snow at a shot like you do in Wisconsin. It gets pretty nasty up there.
Unless you're Dave Marcus, then you break out the snowmobile and race that.
Well, there you go. Well, that with Kenseth's from Wisconsin too.
Yeah. Or I meant Dick Trickle with the snowmobile. Because that's what he did after he retired, was he went on to do snowmobile racing.
Yeah. I remember seeing him when they were under caution lighting a cigarette in the car.
Oh,
he had a cigarette lighter.
That was like the big joke.
Yeah.
He had the only car that had a cigarette lighter built into it.
Now, would that be illegal by today's NASCAR standards?
Yes, it would pass nowadays. I remember watching a race from Talladega, and he's smoking during the middle of the race at green flag. And like Bob Jenkins, like, no, Dick Trickle's car is not like on fire smoking because of the problem. He's literally smoking a cigar.
What are you going to do? Oh, the fun days of the sport. And then they talk about today being, all the guys being too corporate and things like that. You just takes the fun out of the sport.
Oh, yeah. there is no personality. Whenever there's some personality, it's like, penalize. This is detrimental to the sport. Time to penalize you.
So what do you see coming up this coming weekend? Who do you think is going to take the Truck Series title? Do you think Tim Peters is going to take a bushel?
I haven't been watching it. I have no clue. I think Ty Dillon might win the race, but other than that, I have no clue because I haven't been able to watch it.
Well, James Buescher has an 11-point lead over Tim Peters. If it came down to tiebreakers, Buescher has 4 wins, Peters has 2. So that's a close one right there. That's probably one where, if you were going to guess, the switch could be made would be that one. 11 points is easier to make up than 20.
Yeah.
Nationwide, we're looking at Stenhouse with a 20-point lead over Sadler. I don't know if you saw Saturday's race, but Sadler...
Sadler basically cost him. He threw it away.
Yeah.
He threw it away. He handed it to Stenhouse.
And if he would have not tried to push the car, I mean, he wrecked it pretty good, considering he only lost the lap at... You know, that says a lot, the team getting that car back together to get him out there. But, yeah, he pretty much gave that.
Well, all the damage was cosmetic, except for the fact, like, he needed new tires and the rear bumper bar. And that's what cost him in the lab was that because the tires were flat and actually small. Them trying to change the tires, they couldn't do it in time.
Yeah, but, you know, that's kind of the same situation that Jimmy Johnson has now after having to go back to the garage. I'm surprised the point difference was only 20, considering he spent 38 laps in the town.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see. I don't know.
I think there were so many other cars that were already out of the race because everybody was having tire problems. In both races.
You would think, and then Keselowski on the last stop came in and took left side instead of right side. So, and I thought, you know, people having problems with the right side tires. If they were going to go two, I figured they would have went to the right side instead of the left side that late in the race.
Well, did he do, like, two tires the one before, though, two? And he did the right sides on the one before. And that's why they did the left sides.
The one before that they had was a 4-tire stop. So they were going to make it on fuel, and then the wreck came out with Gordon. Or is that the one with? No, that was the one. They went 4 tires on the stop with when Johnson wrecked. With 77 to go. And then when they got down to the... Because they figured they might be able to go close to that in laps on fuel. And then when... Where's the caution flag?
And Speedway, like Rich Childress wasn't happy about that caution.
Yeah, there was caution with about 20 to go when Stewart spun.
No, he wasn't happy because he thought they took the white flag and
that's right.
The replay showed that he hadn't, so they had to do the green light. So, yeah, he was pissed about that.
Yeah, but, you know, they had it on film. You see when the yellow came out and you saw where he was. He wasn't even close to the start-finish line when the yellow came out.
No, he wasn't. No. He was like by pit entrance when it came out. He just passed pit entrance.
But on natural speed viewing, though, like, you know, live at the track, you know, you blink of an eye, it looks like he's across the line. But when they framed, they probably showed him frame by frame and when he came out.
See the yellow caution lights at the flag stand, and he hadn't even crossed the line yet.
Nah.
No.
So as we go,
You go. I'm sorry.
What are you laughing at, Pat?
I didn't say anything.
Sounded like you were giggling in the background.
I've been on mute.
But you hear about the controversy with him going to Stuart Haas?
Why is there a controversy?
About, it was supposed to be announced. Someone leaked it to the press.
Well, you know.
Kevin Harvick's leaving RCR and is going to go to Stuart Haas. And I think it's so, like, Rich Childress can make room for his grandkids.
Yeah, but that's 2014. I think Austin needs another year nationwide. This was only his first year there.
Yeah, I think he's going to do another full year in the nationwide and do, like, a limited in the cup.
Yeah, they'll probably... What they'll do is the 33 car that everybody shares from time to time is going to... When Austin drives it, it'll be the 3. When Brendan Gaughan drives it, it'll be 33. And they'll give him, the 5-race taste to not ruin Rookie of the Year chances.
Yeah.
And then... Everybody will get so damn giddy seeing the 3 back out on the track. Or they'll be cussing at 1, I don't know.
I have mixed feelings about it. There's part of me that doesn't want to see it back in the Cup Series, and then there's part of me that's like, it's neat to see it, but I don't know.
Here's what I don't understand. When Dale Sr. drove a nationwide car. It was a car he owned, and it was the number 3. And Dale Jr. drove that for the DEI. He drove the number 3 in the nationwide, or the AC Delco car.
Yeah. And Dale Sr. also drove the 8 car, too.
Not very much, but he mainly when he was driving in the nationwide series, it was the 3 car. I guess when Junior was driving the 3 car in the Nationwide Series and Dale Sr. wanted to run, he drove the 8 car. Because when Harvick came up, he took over the AC Delco sponsorship for Childress driving the 2 car in the Nationwide Series, which is Sadler's car today. So I don't understand why Childress has, makes a big thing about Childress driving allowing Austin, the 3, the black 3 in the Nationwide Series when it's originally a DEI number and not a Childress number.
No, it ain't. Richard Childress used to drive race cars. And the number 3 was Richard Childress' number back when he drove.
In the Cup Series.
Or the 8? What?
In the Cup Series.
Yeah. Richard Childress drove in the Cup Series before.
Right, but
now,
I'm
Richard
saying
Richard Childress got out of the car to let Senior drive because Richard Childress realized he sucked.
Right.
Yeah, so the 3 car is Richard Childress's number. The 8 car is a family-owned Earnhardt number.
Check back the DEI number 3 in the Nationwide Series was Senior's Nationwide number when he used to run both series.
He also drove the 8 car a few times.
Right, but not in the Cup Series. He always drove the 3 in the Cup Series. But when
he drove in the 8 car. He drove the 8 car before he went to the 3. He's also driven the 2, the 15, I think a 70-something number.
Yeah, no, the 15 was he drove for Bud Moore. That was before he started.
Yeah.
When Dale Jr. was coming up, he drove number 3 car. So VEI's nationwide number was the 3.
Well, the 8's always been with the Earnhardt family because, it was Ralph Earnhardt.
Right.
And then Dale Sr. drove the 8 some. And then Junior drove the 8. Yeah,
well,
the 8 has more meaning with the Earnhardts, but the 3 has been always been for Childress.
The three's always been Childress in the Cup Series, but in the Nationwide Series, Junior drove the three car for two straight titles.
Yeah, when, like, Junior drove for Richard Childress with the Oreo cookie car, it was the three.
Yeah, but I'm saying he didn't need to drive that for Richard Childress. Junior could have taken the three in the Nationwide for his own team, unless Teresa wouldn't. Unless that's something Teresa gave over to Childress.
I think Richard Childress had already bought it out, bought the rights to it, though.
Well, that's possible. Yeah, because Junior drove Senior was in the three, so Junior, you know, they gave Junior the eight because that was, you know, Grandpa's number.
And the dad's. Yeah, because all three generations have driven the eight car at some point in time in their career.
But Teresa wouldn't give that number eight up when
And Richard Childress both had a deal because NASCAR does have a rule, like, you don't actually own the number. You rent the number from NASCAR, or you rent the rights to it. And if you don't use it within 2 years, you lose the rights. So Teresa and Richard did make a deal where they would alternate ownership so they wouldn't lose the rights. And they could keep it off the track.
Ah, that's how the three stayed out. But now with Dylan coming up.
Yeah, and Dylan wants that three back because that is their family number.
Right. And now that he's a family, Childress family's grandson, Richard's grandson, he's going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah, but the three's been in the Childress family, and the eight's always been in the Earnhardt family.
That's what I'm saying, though, that except for the, you know, when Junior drove the Nationwide Series before his Cup Series changeover, he drove the three for his dad and won two Nationwide titles.
Yeah.
I always thought that was an Earnhardt, unless, like you said, when they retire, you know, when. Because they had, who did he have in the Nationwide Series? It was going to be Hornaday.
Yeah.
And
Hornaday drove the 15.
Right. And then what he said was he could have Hornaday in the Nationwide Series or he's going to put Michael Waltrip in the Cup Series. And Waltrip went, you know, say, well, he went with Waltrip in the Cup Series and Waltrip won his first ever, you know. The rest we know is history.
Yeah. Yeah, originally Steve Park was going to drive the 14, and then the 1 became available because Rick Mass' team went under because of carbon monoxide poisoning. So Teresa was like, I want that 1. So that's how that number came about.
It's funny how they keep changing keeping the numbers that way, but... I don't know. I think, with Austin Dillon coming up, I'm wondering how he's going to do when he starts getting in with better competition.
I don't know. I heard, like, he's really, how do I put it? He's too big-headed. I want to say something else, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say on there, so I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say he's too big for his britches, I thought.
This is internet. You could say it on the air. Right there.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I think I've heard like he's too cocky.
Oh, you can say
that. That's fine. You can say that. You can say that on the regular.
Okay. I didn't want you to like, get in trouble or get you all in trouble or get mad. I've heard like he's just way too cocky. Like he knows like he comes from Richard Childress and all that. He knows like he's going to get that ride and everything and because of his name and all that. So he thinks like he's Hutch, you know. I almost pulled a Rusty Wallace right there.
This is internet radio. They don't have sensors on it yet.
Okay, so I could cuss all.
Yeah, I could cuss a whole show if I wanted to. I try not to do it on this venue, but, you know, if it slips, it slips. Yeah.
Okay.
If I was hosting,
that's why I'm trying not to do it.
Well, that's good. Like, back in when Tammy and I were doing the show on the actual AM radio station, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But I think Ty might have more talent than Austin.
Is he? I've heard, like, Ty's also nicer, too.
Yeah, he's a quieter kid. He's one of them quiet dudes.
Yeah.
I had a chance to meet him at Bristol when he was taking... Bristol had a promotion where he had ride around the track with Ty Dillon, and he was taking us around in a Chevy Silverado, which wasn't kind of made for going around the street version. Wasn't made for going around that kind of track. Might have been better suited for Pocono, where it's nice and flat and long.
I've seen trucks flip down there.
We had gotten tickets to Bristol, my wife and I, and there was a thing, if we had them by a certain date, we can go down to the track and had to show our tickets and they let you drive your car on the track, which was
cool.
Pretty neat. And, we're not talking no 20-mile-an-hour job. There was a pace car, but they kicked up about 75, you know. We figured we'd kick it up about 75. So you could pretty much feel the car going around the banking. I think I posted a video on it last August when we went.
Cool.
My wife was driving, and she'd like hang back, get a little run, and then come screaming up the back end of the cars in front of us. Get stuck behind, and they let you go around as many times as you want, so we'd each take turns going around so you can get the better run. And once she got right behind the pace car, and was able to have a real good run at it. But that was fun. So, and Ty was there. He was sitting there all nice and quiet. He wasn't as cocky as his brother was. Didn't seem it. Actually, I don't really think he even wanted to. It seemed like we barely woke up to get there. So, you see him in he looks real, and he looks young as he is. He's, 18, 19, so he looks real young, too.
Yeah, because by NASCAR rules, he has to be at least 18 to race.
That was the Kyle Busch rule?
Yeah, because Kyle was racing when he was 16 and was winning and all that, and then, all these deaths happened, and they didn't want to be responsible for a minor being killed, so they made that rule.
Okay, well, he was driving. That's when he drove for Jack Roush.
Yeah.
Truck
in the
series.
Truck. Yeah.
And it was after that he figured he didn't want to go back to drive for Jack Roush. He went over to Hendrick. And that's when his brother still drove for Roush, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
Kyle will always end the record for the youngest driver to ever race in NASCAR.
Yeah, and Bill Elliott will always have the track record for the fastest speed at Talladega and Daytona.
The official speed.
Official speed.
Yeah.
It's just because they put rules in place to slow them down. God, don't you love insurance companies? Well, they're the ones that dictated they had to slow them down, and the same with the...
Yeah, because they did that because of Kyle Yarborough flipping over at Daytona during a qualifying lap.
Yeah. So, well, I said, what do you say we get making our picks for this coming weekend?
The trucks, I say Ty Dillon wins. Nationwide, hopefully Kyle. And Cup Series, hopefully Kyle, with Brad winning the championship.
I'd like to see Kyle get a nationwide win in his own car. This way he can keep the streak going of consecutive years with a win in the series.
Yeah, I don't want to see him have to start that all over again.
Nah, the only win that he has in that car in the nationwide series, Kurt got.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny being... That was the only win that Kurt's had in a few years.
Oh, that's so mean.
I mean, as good as Kurt is, he hasn't been in the best of cars. The last win I think he had before he left Penske was Dover.
Yeah.
And he's got a couple wins, and I think he has one in what? Kyle's truck, and then he's got one in Kyle's car.
Yeah.
I thought Kyle was going to park the truck, though, being he was working on the Nationwide team. I didn't realize that.
In fact, like we were talking about that last week. Tammy and I were talking about that.
Hmm. What do you think, Tam?
I'm trying to think. I'm like, I can't even think.
Tammy hasn't had much sleep.
No, I think I'm up to maybe 20 hours in 5 days.
Oh, man. You gotta cut out some of these late-night projects.
Well, part of it is because I was reading those books, and that right there was part of my issue. I found books that made 50 Shades of Grey look like they were PG movies.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Tammy found some lady porn.
No.
Oh, did you see the picture that she posted?
As my mother called it, the smutty books.
Okay, now, what books are these? So we could tell I could tell all the women I know.
Yes.
That this book,
you have to read
called?
These. It's called the Crossfire. Well, it's called the Crossfire Trilogy, but she thinks it's going to end up turning into four books, not three. The first two are out already. The first one is Bare to You. The second one is Reflected in You. And the third one, it's been pushed back until May for release. It's called Entwined in You. And after reading the first two, I don't know if I can survive until May with the pictures and images in my head.
And then the fourth one is going to be Snail Tracks on You.
Well, I don't know. The fourth one, it might be them dying because of everything they do.
Hey, yeah, email me now. I want to see if anybody's heard of these books.
Oh, they are brand
new. I have never heard of them.
They are actually literally brand new. The Reflected in You literally just hit the market last week, and they're already like neck and neck with 50 Shades of Grey for sales.
Oh, wow.
And 50 Shades of Grey has been out a lot longer.
Wow.
I can't get into 50 Shades of Grey. I'm going to try it again to see if I can get into it, but I couldn't get into it the last time I started reading it. So I'm going to give it another shot, but unless it's something like these books, I just can't get into it. But, these books have me hanging. I had to stay up. I couldn't
hanging,
put
hang,
the book down to
hang,
finish the first one.
Hanging or dripping?
I plead the fifth. They're very, very well written from an author that gives you just enough of a vivid picture, but not enough that she's controlled the picture enough you can still let your imagination run with it. So it's like the perfect combination.
Interesting. Yeah. Email me the titles and also make a post up on Facebook and see if anybody and your friends have read them yet.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. I'm just like, the main character is Gideon Cross and Eva Trammell, which everybody says it's kind of funny because the initials are the same as the initials in 50 Shades of Grey for the main characters. But I could picture this one being a movie much quicker than the other ones. And the way the second one left me hanging, the way it ended, like the first one ended, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, I got to hit the next one. I'm like downloading the next one as quick as I'm done reading it. Downloaded the next one, and the way that one ended, I'm like, I can't wait till May. This is not going to work.
You're reading them online or a Kindle?
I'm reading them on my Kindle on my phone. My phone has a Kindle app. So I put the bug out in Santa's ear already that for Christmas I want a real Kindle now that I've gotten into reading these books.
How do you take that into the bathroom with you?
My phone? my phone is it's got the Kindle on it. It's like a it's like a little mini Kindle.
Yeah,
I just can't flip the pages quick enough.
Well, at least if you read a book, you can flip them quicker, and if you get them all, you know, those pages all sticky, you don't have to worry about gumming up the phone.
Yuck.
Oh, my God.
Ay, ay, ay.
You got me started, Dan. This is supposed to be a motorsport show.
I'm going to get your wife to read these books.
She won't read them.
Oh, no, no, no. That's, you know what? And you know me, Vince. I am not a reader. I'm not. I don't get into that. You know my stance on that. Just like I'm a photographer. I do some writing, but I'm not the best at writing. But when it came to this, I'm like, whew, this gives me ideas.
Are there pictures?
Getting the facts, it could be some interesting new columns coming out of there now.
Danny, usually if it's for women, there's no pictures. It's sketches. They draw. Yeah.
Oh, there's no pictures at all. It's the edge of this book. None. Even like the covers. The one cover is cufflinks sitting there. And, oh, wait, what was the second one? The first one was just a pair of cufflinks on the cover. The second one was just a keychain. Just a plain keychain with, like, the shape of a dog tag hanging off the keychain. And the third one, they haven't even released the cover yet, so we can't even see what it looks like. It was supposed to come out in 2 weeks, and now they pushed it off until May.
Oh, the keyword being come.
But, yeah, it, for all our listeners out there, you know, the ladies and even the men, you know what? It can be enjoyed by either sex the way this book is. It's definitely good for either gender.
There's no pictures. Men won't enjoy it.
Oh, no, they'll enjoy. These people are like bunny rabbits. Constantly. Even when they're mad and arguing with each other, that's how they resolve everything. So just, you know. It might be good. Men, get the book for your wives and show them how they resolve all their conflicts.
Just keep them off. But if you see your woman on a washing machine with the book, you know.
Oh, my God.
I don't. I'm not going to go there. I could say something, but I won't. I'll be good. But, yeah, I got to give a shout-out to the author. It's Sylvia Day. It's the Crossfire. Right now, like I said, it's still the Crossfire trilogy. For now, could turn into four. She says, I don't want to drag it out if I don't need to. If I can finish it in the third, I'll finish it. If not, if I have to go a little farther, then we'll go a little farther and it'll just become a four-piece set.
In other words, if she makes a killing on the first three, you ain't getting a fourth one.
She's actually a really well-established writer. She's got tons of other books out there.
But they probably didn't sell like these are.
No, they did, but it was before this type of writing was popular.
Porn?
Like the next one I just got, it's called A Dark Kiss of Rapture to start reading. It's from the Renegade Angels series that she did. And that was out before Twilight became popular. But it's the same principle, just in the erotic category.
Check out.
You got to read the first one, Bare to You, Crossfire novel. Then the second one is Reflected in You, Crossfire novel. They're both available on Amazon. So check them out. And get your copy and start reading.
No, I'll pass.
No, you won't.
I'm with Vince on that one.
You know what? All you have to do is just read the little bit of it. And like, I can't, I won't say some of the stuff he said to her.
Read
but like,
read us a passage.
Hold on. Hold on.
She's trying to find a clean part of the book.
Yeah, that's one of them. But I don't know how to. I'm learning how to use this Amazon thing.
Hmm. Is that what you call your battery operated device, this Amazon thing?
No, I'm on. Hold on. How do I do this?
Poor Donald, he can't play it.
I'm trying to find something good. Hold on.
It does have a library option, I'm sure.
No, my phone does not.
What?
My phone does not have that option.
What option is that?
What the
library?
Yeah.
Sure it does.
No, it doesn't. Mine doesn't work.
Well, you could turn it on to vibrate. You don't have to.
Wait, oh, my computer right now.
Oh, no, well, we'll have to wait.
don't have that option on my phone at all.
You do not have vibrate.
No, I don't. I'm serious. The little piece inside broke.
Yeah.
It broke because you used it too much.
No!
Here. Put your head here.
No. Okay. Give me the police quote that you can say. Here we go. You ready? Gideon crossed
sure.
the life like lightning in the darkness. He was beautiful and brilliant, jagged and white hot. I was drawn to him as I'd never been to anything or anyone in my life. I craved his touch like a drug, even knowing it would weaken me. I was flawed and damaged, and he opened those cracks in me so easily. Gideon knew. He had demons of his own, and he would become the mirrors that reflected each other's most private wounds and desires. The bonds of his love transformed me, even as I prayed that our torment of our past didn't tear us apart.
When she said, open those cracks in me, were we talking about the front crack or the back crack?
I'm not telling. Hubbard said he possessed me and obsessed me, you know, and it is. These two are, like, inseparable. He takes her down to North Carolina and no phones, no nothing, and in the second book, and, oh, it is. It's really, really good. It's not like your normal books. Like I said, it gets you to that point but doesn't go past the point, so you kind of have to use your imagination a little bit with it. It doesn't give it all right there in front of you. Let's see, where's the other one?
Oh, this is going to be a fun off season. I know what we're talking about. I know what kind of show I'm doing. But anyway, back to the matter.
I could get some Playboy Playmates to come on the show and, like, read the book or something for you.
Ooh.
I had Gina Lynn, the porn star, on my other show back in New Jersey once.
I'm trying to find. See,
go on your Facebook page, go to Gina, G-I-N-A, Lynn, L-Y-N-N.
I could probably get Carrie Ann Petrie to come on.
Who?
Carrie Ann Petrie. She was the Miss Teen USA, and then she had her crown stripped from her because she appeared in Playboy, and then she did Dr. Drew.
That poor girl.
Hey, I used to date her. I dated her for 24 hours.
24 hours?
Yeah, she's actually a very nice girl. We're friends, and, like, she's being stalked by some guy, so it's like, well, just put me as your boyfriend. Maybe I'll get him to go away. And so we did that for about 24 hours, and it's still, he still kept on bugging her.
Here's what she's got to do. How old is she?
She's the same age as me.
Okay, that tells me a lot. How old are you?
I'm 29, and she's about 28.
And they still stalk her?
Oh, yeah, they still stalk her. She's still drop-dead gorgeous.
She needs to buy a gun and keep it on her person.
No, this is like internet stalking.
Oh, well, sometimes you get these weirdos that start there, and then next thing you know, they're standing out front of your house.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Tammy, who are you picking for this weekend?
Brad. Well, for the championship.
Brad.
For the championship, Brad, but Carl to win the race.
Carl to win the race. Okay, let me go back to the – let me find my cup page here. You're picking Carl to win the race, Brad to win the championship. Danny.
Carl to win the race, Brad to win the championship.
Oh, crud.
What?
Station 64, Longhorn Steakhouse.
We have a fire call.
See you, Tam. Be safe.
You're not supposed to have that all when you're on the air.
Did you hear it go beeping?
I just heard something about some steakhouse or something.
Yeah.
Somebody just burnt their meat.
Now the store's closed already.
Okay, we'll have I'll pick Jimmy for the race because I jinxed him last week, so I probably will continue it. Being sure Brad wins the championship, and I'll pick let me see. Who do I want to win the race? You pick Carl, you pick Kyle. I'll go with Mr. Vanilla.
What?
Matt Kenseth. I'll pick Matt Kenseth to win the race.
Yeah, because it is a Ford race.
Yeah, except Stewart won it. You had Stewart last year. You had Edwards finish second, where if it would have been the other way around, Edwards would have won the championship.
Yeah.
Because Edwards led the most laps, but came in second, so that didn't help matters none. Wound up tied in points. And first tiebreaker was wins. Tony Stewart got it that way. Truex was third, but I don't think he's... Now, for some reason, I'm not sold on Martin Truex, and really, I haven't been. For somebody who had two straight, also had two straight nationwide series titles, he never really sold me as a potential Cup champion.
Well, see, when he went to Cup, he was driving the, like,
cars
for the, he wasn't the primary team.
Yeah, but he
where
was like
Junior got all the best stuff.
Yeah, but you figure you had what? They had three teams at the time. And
yeah.
But after.
So, you know, Junior got all the best stuff then.
Well,
I know. Truex was second down the list, and then Mark, or well, whoever
Truex,
else was driving.
I think at the time, Truex was third on the list because Waltrip was the second man on the pole there at the time.
Yeah.
And then Mikey left, and then they brought in
Mark Martin.
Mark Martin. And then Junior left, and they swapped. And Junior, and then Mark Martin got the 8 car.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we have our picks in. Let's see who wins the title next week. Hopefully it'll be the Blue Deuce.
I hope so.
All right.
Cool.
Danny, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Danny. Let you go answer that call and put out that burning steak or, that, or whatever else is on fire that from reading that book.
Just remember, everyone has to go check out her book, Sylvia Day, Buried to You, Reflected in You, the Crossfires series.
I'm not going to remember all that.
Oh, you got it. I'll make sure I put it up. I'll make sure I give a shout-out to her, too, to the author and everything like that.
Yeah. Hey, she's got a Facebook
page.
Oh, and
everybody vote for Justine Davis, Maximum Hometown Hotties.
Oh, yeah, I saw that picture. Is she from your hometown?
No, she's from Chicago, but we've been friends for several years now.
Or is that who you're stalking?
No, that's just a friend. She's a gearhead. She went to all motive school. So we've become real good friends. She's
Alrighty.
Super sweet. But, yeah, she's in Maximum Hometown Hotties. She's a finalist.
Cool. I used to get that magazine. So now I don't have a chance to read magazines much anymore. So everything I do, it's either online or I don't. So, don't get time to read anymore. The older you get, the less time you have to do fun stuff.
Read books.
Yeah. Read books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go read a book. All right, Tammy, Danny, have a good week. We'll see who we'll discuss who did what next Monday. We're going to have Tammy Ward Jacobs, motorboat hydroplane racer on, and maybe we can get NHRA Top Fuel champ Antron Brown. I tried to get him for tonight, but they had their banquet tonight, and kind of tough to get them at their banquet when it's the night right after the race. So I'll throw that out for tomorrow. And actually, we got John Force going into his banquet when he won his championship. But we were promised that one, right, Tad?
Yeah, we were. He did. He called us as he was going in.
He said, "Going into the banquet," you know, hyped up John.
I like him. A lot of people do not like him, but I like that attitude. I like that passion.
I do. Yeah. I mean, he's got to be considered one of the best drag racers of all time. And, you know, he's an interviewer's best friend because you ain't got to ask him much and he goes on for a while.
Yeah. He's always really hyped up and, you know, he's passionate about whatever it is. Like, if he's angry, he's angry. If he's happy, he's happy. It's not dull. There's never a dull moment with him.
You can't tell if he's mad or happy because it's always the same tone of voice. But Courtney's like that, too.
Yeah.
She's got that excitement.
Yeah.
She can go on. Well, you've heard her on the show. Whenever she comes on, I love having her on. It's like having her dad on, only have a better looking.
Yeah, but we can't see her on.
Sure you can. Just go to her Facebook page while she's on the air and cool. So we had Ashley on before. What? When she was running good, then she wound up getting preggers and leaving the racing scene and then pregnant again. So maybe with Courtney, she might have a shot at a title next year, doing as good as she did this year. So that's something I'd like to see.
Yeah, I miss their TV show. Remember that show they had on the A&E?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty neat. Just one of them shows that if John Force is involved, you know it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you all next week.
And we'll talk about our champions.
And everybody go out and get that book or those books.
Yes, they're already up on our Facebook page, so you can go check them out.
I thought you wanted to put them on your personal page.
I put them there, too. I've heard
right.
them everywhere.
I'll see if I can get some Playboy Miles to call in and read experts from those books.
That might be a little tough.
That might be fine.
Those Playboy models are a little harder to get a hold of.
Damn it, right, guys. I'm friends with a bunch of them. All right.
Friends in your own mind, right?
No, you saw, like, I tagged a bunch of them. In fact, I helped one get into Playboy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I work for Paul Miller Productions. And, like, basically, I'm a talent scout. I go and I look for different girls and go, okay, you're hot. You should be in Playboy. Oh, look, you're hot. You should be in Maximum. And they take pictures and whatever, and we submit them to different magazines and websites.
But if they get picked, they're your best friends for life. That's pretty
you
neat.
You would think.
So.
But no, I've made friends with a bunch of them.
That's pretty cool. All right, guys, so we'll see you all next week. I'm Vince.
I'm Tammy.
And Danny. Bye-bye, all.
See ya.
Bye.